Sound Effect is our weekly storytelling show here on KNKX. Each story has a theme, and this next one is about a bug in the system. Here's Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer.
This next story is about a computer bug with tragic consequences. The story starts June 10th, 1999 in Bellingham. A pipeline that runs between Seattle and an oil refinery in Ferndale springs a leak. Locals start to smell gasoline, and it soon becomes clear that gas is leaking into Whatcom Creek. Firefighter Ryan Provencher goes to investigate.
We've got explosive levels, could probably take out 2-3 city blocks.
Captain Jaquish got out to investigate. His eyes got huge as he looked over the bridge. And right then I knew that this was a little bigger than what we thought it was going to be. And at that time, I just took a moment to walk over and take a look for myself and just couldn't believe what I was seeing. I mean, it was literally just free-flowing gasoline, and the vapors went as high as you could see. It just blurred the whole landscape behind the creek.
Okay, my dog's in seizure now.
Your dog is having seizures?
The fumes are everywhere. My dog can't walk anywhere. We're getting the hell out of here. Something's bad.
All right.
The creek is full of oil. It's something toxic.
All right, we've got people on the way.
Yeah, well, they better get here soon. You got
okay.
A problem.
Right.
We went in to Whatcom Falls Park and started walking towards the water treatment plant, just trying to get an idea of where this was coming from. We were just crossing the little footbridge towards the water treatment plant when the explosion occurred.
911, there's a big smoke. The sky is smoke.
911.
Yes, I'd like to report an explosion.
Okay.
This is Alabama here. 911.
Yeah, I'm on Iowa Street and I just saw like a very big
explosion. The flames and smoke came down the valley, and all I remember is it completely filled the V of the valley there. The fireball was above the trees. All I remember thinking was it can't be that much. It's just gonna, burn for a few minutes and then it's gonna die down and the problem will start going away. And I remember it was like 15 or 20 minutes. It's still just roaring, and I'm just going, my God, what have we got?
That last voice was Ron Morehouse, the battalion chief for the Bellingham Fire Department at the time. And what they had on their hands turned out to be far worse than they'd imagined. Almost 300,000 gallons of highly volatile gas leaked from the Olympic pipeline into creeks that went right through downtown Bellingham. When the fuel exploded, over a mile of the creek caught fire. A massive plume of dark smoke rose 30,000 feet into the air. Two 10-year-old boys playing near the water and an 18-year-old fisherman died. The final report on the Olympic pipeline explosion put most of the blame on a backhoe puncturing the pipeline. But Joe Weiss says it's not that simple. He's an expert in cybersecurity for industrial systems, things like pipelines, refineries, and power plants. He's studied the Bellingham incident, and he says what happened there nearly 20 years ago is still very much relevant today.
I remember seeing this event on the national news, because it's not often a creek catches fire and kills people. You know, you think of the Cuyahoga River, you don't think about a creek in Washington State. But then what really got me, I was pushed to start a control system cybersecurity conference. And one of the people that attended was from the National Transportation Safety Board.
And that's the agency that was doing the investigation?
Yes.
The official investigation?
Yes. So when NTSB showed up at the conference and said they were finalizing the report of the Bellingham, Washington gasoline pipeline rupture, it's like, wait a minute, you're saying then it really wasn't that backhoe that nicked the line that caused the problem?
It sounds like there were multiple causes that were identified by that official report. What role do you think that you mentioned the SCADA, that's the computer system that was supposed to be monitoring and enable
yes.
the humans to exert control over what was going on in the pipelines?
So every 3 to 7 seconds, it would update itself and you would be able to see what was going on.
Including things like what the pressure was inside the pipeline at
yes.
different points.
Yes. But minutes before the accident, the SCADA system went from a 3 to 7 second scan rate to every 30 seconds, to every 400 seconds, to being totally unresponsive. So right before the accident, the SCADA stopped working.
Would this explosion have happened if the SCADA system were functioning as it was supposed to?
I don't believe so. If the SCADA system and the sensors were working properly, you would have seen the pressure build up in the lines, and you could have taken action to have tried to reduce the pressure in those lines.
How much do we rely on these computerized, in some cases automated, industrial control systems? How widespread are these things, and what kinds of things do they support?
Try everything. Without them, we're back in the 1850s. This is transportation, energy, power, manufacturing, defense. Our entire infrastructure is built on this automation.
Why does this Bellingham incident specifically mean so much to you personally? Like, why do you care so much about this one episode?
Because there are so many aspects of Bellingham that are still relevant today and that are still not being addressed today.
Was there a kind of culture or mentality at this time around industrial control systems that comes into play? I mean, like, what's the context that this happened in?
Well, it's the same context today. There is still a major approach to rely on your sensors and to rely on automation.
So how worried should we be about, say, nuclear launch officers at missile sites still using floppy disks and all this outdated technology?
Here's the funny part. From a cyber perspective, that's probably the best thing you can do.
Really? Why? That's counterintuitive. I mean, why?
Here's the trade-off for the catch-22. Going to modern digital is going to give you a more reliable, more productive system. The flip side is it will give you a much more cyber vulnerable system. Productivity versus security. They're not necessarily compatible.
So, Joe, this gets to something that this whole conversation makes me wonder about. I just wonder what incidents like this Bellingham explosion and all the things that have followed in its wake, what do they say about the limits of sort of human versus technology, what we should leave in the hands of people and what we should leave in the hands of technology?
Part of what's happening is the law of unintended consequence. What we're doing as we're moving to this fully digital, fully interconnected world is we're having interconnections we hadn't necessarily anticipated. And the more complex we become, the more that's going to be there.
But you're not a Luddite. I mean, you're not anti-technology. You're not saying
no.
We should...
No. And there is no stopping the technology. But we need to step back and really ask, where shouldn't we be using this?